Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet into Words.
I came here to study.
To work. To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet into Words.
Esto es Con los pies en dos mundos.
Bir ayağım burada, bir ayağım orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet into Worlds.
Relations between the U.S. and Pakistan are said to be at an all-time low. The current crisis is yet another challenge for Pakistani immigrants in the U.S., already torn between their native country and their adopted home.
The community is very concerned what would be the impact upon them. They are very confused, they are very worried, and they are praying, and they are trying to figure out what role they could play.
I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. Ever since the November 26th NATO airstrike that killed at least 25 Pakistani soldiers near the border with Afghanistan, the relationship between the two countries has been on a downward spiral. The government in Islamabad has placed new restrictions on U.S. military and intelligence operations in Pakistan, while at the same time accusing NATO of deliberately staging the fatal attack. The U.S. says it was an accident. Pakistani immigrants are keenly aware of the dangers posed by this latest crisis, and some are trying to figure out how the immigrant community should respond. With me in the studio is Mohsin Zahir. He's the founder and editor of the Pakistani newspaper, an online publication, and the editor of Saad-e-Pakistan. Mohsin is also a frequent contributor to Feet in Two Worlds. Mohsin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, John, for having me.
Mohsin, you've been to a number of recent gatherings of Pakistanis in the New York area prompted by the growing crisis. What's the mood? What are people saying?
I would like to say that if you want to see a community facing a Feet in Two Worlds-like situation, then you should look at the Pakistani-American community. This community have a relationship between two nations, Pakistan, which is their homeland, and United States, which is their adopted homeland. And the relationship between these two homelands are at all level low these days. So due to these odd relationships, this community is hanging in the middle. They don't know what to do, and they don't know what to say.
So they're torn between the U.S. and Pakistan.
That's right, they're torn. But at the same time, the first event was actually kind of a community get-together, which was arranged by a local Pakistani ethnic newspaper, Weekly News Pakistan. It was kind of a public forum. So almost 40 members, prominent members of the community, they were also representing different social community or political organizations of Pakistani-American community. So they got together.
And what was the mood? Was it angry? Was it determined? Was it upset?
Mood was they were saddened by this incident, number one. Then most of them, they condemned these attacks. And most of them, they demanded justice in this case. They said, you know, justice should be done, and we are for great American values and its justice system, and we look forward that justice should also be done in this case.
Now, when you say they condemned the attacks, does that mean they condemned the actions of NATO and the United States?
Yeah, definitely. They think this attack, they agreed with Pakistani officials that these attacks were deliberate.
So it sounds like at least at this one meeting, people were generally siding with Pakistan. You had said earlier that they're torn between their allegiance to U.S., to the U.S. and Pakistan, but it sounds like they've kind of chosen sides in a way.
They are hanging in the middle. Second is Pakistan said the attacks were deliberate and the U.S. said the attacks were not deliberate.
They were accidental.
They were accidental. So the thing is Pakistan and the Pakistani nation is demanding that U.S. should at least say apologize from Pakistan and the Pakistani nation. But U.S. said we will look into the matter. We will inquire what happened. Then we will come up with something.
Well, I want to press you on this point a little bit because you say that they're caught in the middle, but it sounds like they're taking the perspective of the Pakistani government, at least at the meetings that you attended. So how does the position of the Pakistani immigrant community differ from official position of the Pakistani government?
So, you know, when we, like I will mention here another incident, there was a demonstration in front of United Nations last Friday. So only two Pakistanis showed up there. This demonstration was organized by Mr. Iqbal Jadoon, who is a chairman of National Unity Council. It's a small community-based organization. I said, "You are Mr. Jadoon, why did people did not show up here?" He said, "I 150 make commitments, but nobody showed up. What can I say?" Then I said, "Mr. Jadoon, are you a U.S. citizen?" He said, "Yes." Then I asked him, "If you are a U.S. citizen, don't you think you are demonstrated? You are staging a demonstration against your own country?" So he said, "No." He said, "I'm a U.S. citizen. I took oath, and I took oath that I will be on U.S. side if the sovereignty of this country will be attacked. But at the same time, I believe that U.S. should not violate any other nation's sovereignty." And he think that, I think at this point of time, my country, my adopted homeland, violated a sovereignty of a country which is also an ally of this country in a war against terrorism. So then he think the reason I came here I stood in front of the United Nations is to make United States to realize that they make a mistake. They should apologize and they should repair the damage, you know, that happened after this incident.
The last time you and I spoke on this podcast was right after Osama bin Laden had been killed by U.S. soldiers who went into Pakistan to kill him. And that was another crisis in the relationship between the U.S. and Pakistan. How is this current crisis different from that?
I would say that once upon a time, Pakistan and United States used to be a good friends. They don't have a friendly relationship these days. So there is a background. And the background starts from the May 2nd Osama bin Laden operation. It starts from like a couple of years ago. There is a differences between the United States and Pakistan.
So you're saying this is part of a longer-term evolution of bad relations between
the two? Bad relationship. And this incident, recent incident is another incident on those series, you know.
And where does that leave the average or typical Pakistani immigrant in the U.S. In terms of how it affects their daily lives? Does it affect them on a daily basis?
I think the community at this point of time, they were already under the impression that they are, due to the tension between the countries, they said we might have to pay some kind of a price in terms of profiling, in terms of putting under a microscopic examination, in terms of strict policy towards Pakistani immigrants. So at this point of time, this recent incident that took place in at Salalah Post, so this incident also triggered pre-exist fear in the community.
And so it reinforced the fears that people already had. And have any of those fears been actually realized as far as you know?
Not yet. There is no case reported yet.
Mohsin, some Pakistani immigrants are talking about using their unique position to repair the relationship between the U.S. and Pakistan. Who are these people who are talking about this, and what are they proposing to do?
I told you three meetings took place so far after this incident. One was at Jacksonite, Queens. So in all these three meetings, the community members who want to play some kind of a role of a bridge or a role that could repair these relationship, they should contact two U.S. policymakers, they should contact to U.S. officials because they believe that they do have influence in their congressional districts. They do have influence when it comes to their affiliations with the government officials or congressional officials or any U.S. officials. Though most of the members were suggesting that community members should use their relationship with the policymakers or decision makers, and they should use their contacts and try to repair this damage. You know.
You've reported in the past about how Pakistanis in particular and Muslims in general in the U.S. have been reluctant to be involved in politics because of all of the anti-Muslim sentiment following 9/11, and then in the 2010 midterm elections, we started to see a change in that. Do you see this series of incidents, the NATO airstrike, the killing of Osama bin Laden, as encouraging greater Pakistani-American involvement in U.S. politics, or are people, again, putting their heads down and trying to – just hoping that this is going to blow over and then they can get on with their lives?
Actually, John, you know, very interestingly, I noticed that whenever this kind of incident happened or whenever this kind of a situation arises in the community, it always reminds the community that you should be a part of mainstream America.
So it reminds them of their civic duty.
Yeah, definitely. I notice every time, even the meeting took place at Jackson Heights, most of the speakers, they said, we always talk about we should be part of mainstream America. We should also part of U.S. political system. If we would have been the part of the system, we could play more effective roles. Even we are not late at this point of time, this is the time that we should come forward and we can play more effective role as compared to Pakistani diplomats posted in Washington or New York or elsewhere in the United States. But unfortunately, some kind of incident took place and it reminds the community and community wake up for some period of time. And the fact is then it go back to sleep mode again.
Mohsin, thank you very much.
You're welcome, John.
Mohsin Zahir is the founder and editor of the Pakistani newspaper, an online publication, and the editor of Sadeh Pakistan. The producers of this podcast are Sarah Kate Kramer and Jocelyn Gonzalez. Our engineer is Chad Bernhard at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. I'm John Rudolph. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the New York Community Trust and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, with additional support from the Mertz Gilmore Foundation, the Cyrus Fund, and WNYC New York Public Radio. This program was produced in association with the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and CUNY TV. Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. We are a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. Visit our website at news.feetintoworlds.org. You can support this podcast by going to news.feetintoworlds.org and clicking Help Support FI2W.